Welcome along
hey,
to
Matt.
The Retro Asylum.
Oh, is our,
hi,
is our timing
Mark.
Off? Our timing's off?
Yes, yes. Timing's way off. Timing's way off, mate. Welcome along to the Retro Asylum. Denmark's and the United States' best retro gaming podcast show. So, representing Denmark today is me, Mass, and all the way from the United States, we have Mark.
Hey, guys.
Say hello, Mark.
Hello, how are you?
So, as you've already heard, Mark is here. He tried to kind of break my intro there, and he succeeded, I have to say. Well done, Mark.
Thank you. It's the first time.
It's good that you're
so
settling into the role as co-host.
Yeah. I used to be so professional. Now I've dropped to your guys' level. Yeah.
Oh, yes. It's a long fall, but I'm glad to see you down here. So, Mark, today is just a short one, as we usually say in playthrough, and then we record a three-hour episode. But today it will be a short one, because we're just presenting the games that we'll be playing in April, isn't it?
That's right.
Of 2023, in the Game Club.
Yeah, you guys are trying to kill me early on this year, yes.
Yeah, I want no part of this. I take no part of the blame here, because Chris has done his usual thing of doing a huge list of what we are supposed to do the entire year, and I'm going to do my best to poke him every once in a while and say, I don't want to do that, and do something else instead. But this time, we just went with his list, didn't we?
We did. Yeah, we didn't screw him up at all, and he's not even here, so
no.
I don't know.
Nope. So we can badmouth him as much as we want tonight.
Yeah.
So that's, Looking forward to that.
I think he's a little offended that we're kind of Nordic brothers.
Yeah.
He mentioned something about that, how he's the third wheel now. I like that.
Yes. Nordic brothers, and so darn gorgeous. It's hard for him. So
it's got to be the red hair. It's ironic that we both have red hair.
Nah, we love you as well, Chris,
yeah.
Even though you're just a UK bastard. No worries. No, but the theme today, or for that month, April, is going to be point-and-click adventure games. Right up your alley, isn't it, Mark?
Yes, I absolutely love this genre. Mm. Yeah.
You're all over those.
Oh, yeah. I fall right in line with Dean and Steve, I think, and Matt.
Yep, and Matt.
Yeah, I think it's 4-2, so... I don't know. We'll see. You guys are going to crack me at some point. And to be fair, I really enjoyed Day of the Tentacle.
Yeah, I was just about to say, you were playing along on Day of the Tentacle as well, weren't you?
Yeah, and that was actually a lot of fun. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see how this month goes. I'm excited for one of these titles that I know.
So out of six, there's one you'd like to play. I hope there'll be more than that, but let's go through the list in just a little while.
Yeah.
So we've had Chris phone in his two choices as well, and of course we'll pick one of those off. And we both brought two choices. So six games in total we'll be talking about. All games that I'd like to play. Some of them I have already played, but all games I'd like to play or play again. And really looking forward to going through these. You brought some games to the scene today that I haven't even heard of before, so, and then they look really intriguing. So should we just dive right into it?
Yeah, I don't think we need a news dive or anything. I think we just go right into these games. What do you think?
Yeah. I'm ready to go, at least. Let's give Chris the first word, shouldn't we?
Yeah, let's sneak him in here.
So we're going to drop in Chris's first clip right here.
Right. My first choice for Adventure Game Month is a game that I've wanted to play for absolutely ages, and it is Snatcher. Coming in strong with the heavy hitter. Snatcher, a game developed and published by Konami, originally released for the NEC PC range of computers in Japan in 1988. But the first time we got an English language release was, and even the only English language release official one, was on the Sega CD / Mega CD, depending on where you lived. And that was in 1994. It actually came out in Europe before the States, which is surprising. It came out in Europe in December 94. And America in January 95. Very famous game, written by the original author himself, Hideo Kojima. I've always wanted to play this. I don't know whether Police Notes came before or after Snatcher, but it's Snatcher is the one that I've always wanted to get stuck into. I've only ever dabbled it, had a quick look, and I really like the atmosphere and the music. It's got that kind of cyberpunk feel to it. I'm sure many of you guys have played it, but I don't think Mads or Mark have. I'm pretty sure Mads hasn't, and I don't think Mark has. So I think it'll be a great game to dive into. I'd love to find a decent English translation for the original NEC version. I suspect I'll end up playing the Mega CD version like most people. It also did get Japanese PlayStation and Saturn releases, so maybe there might be translations out there. But what you're going to get with Kojima, you're going to get a funky plot and some wacky dialogue, I imagine. And hopefully the adventure game elements hold up well. So there we go. Snatcher is my first choice.
So Snatcher, interesting choice. You ever played that before, Mark?
Never. And I've actually owned the Sega CD copy as a guy that would always buy and collect things. That was one.
Yeah?
That I did
have. Okay,
I did,
but you don't have it anymore?
No, it was part of my purge, and I was okay to get rid of that one. Just because it was... It's so expensive, at least in the States. I assume that the PAL region version's got to be crazy expensive, too.
Yeah, I believe it is. I mean, I've actually never seen a real copy.
Yeah, he was saying that it was actually released in Europe first, which was interesting.
Mm.
Have you played this one?
No, never. Never. I've heard of it a few times. I've looked into playing it, but I've never even fired it up. I've been reading about it, but I never actually gotten around to play it because there are so many games to play. But I'd like to play the Sega CD version at some point, so this would definitely be interesting. I'm not too sure about a story told by Kojima, though, because the little I have played of Metal Gear, it is just a bit weird, isn't it?
Yeah. And I've never really played Metal Gear, but this game is praised for its... For its storytelling, one of the cool things that I'm almost certain this is a game that a friend of mine loved. I think you can actually use the light gun in Player 2. There's some shooting spots, some action, and I think you can actually use the light gun if you have the. I think it's called the Justifier.
Okay, on the Saturn or
on the Sega CD, yeah.
On the CD, okay. Oh, the Justifier, yeah.
Yeah, the Konami. Okay. It was a Konami branded gun, and it was for Lethal Enforcers, I think was the game. But I'm almost certain. I can't remember, and I haven't actually looked that up. But I remember my friend saying something about that. So I'll hopefully send all the hate mail to me.
So you're making me a bit nervous talking about shooting sections in a point-and-click adventure game. That sounds horrible, but...
I mean, we talked about it being an adventure game, not necessarily point-and-click, right? We talked about... Cause,
true.
So I think, I mean, because my first choice was, I guess, an RPG. And I was like, I think I'll pick this one as an adventure. And you guys are like, Mark, you don't even know what genre you're talking about, so... So
yeah, now this won't be pointing and clicking, I guess, because it's on a console. So
yeah, but, that's fair.
Something along those lines.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah. Adventure.
No, it looks really interesting. We could have a look if there are some. I'm sure Rousey would know whether there are some translation patches for the old PC 88 version, for example, to see the original. So it could be fun to look into. And it's a cyberpunk adventure. I love the cyberpunk aesthetic. So and a lot of the stories there used to love reading those. Reading old sci-fi novels. So cyberpunk is definitely up my alley as well.
Yeah, and I'm almost certain I've seen a CD English translation on the Saturn version.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure.
I'm sure I have as well, yeah. So good first choice, Chris.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Good first choice. So, Mark, what's your first choice then?
So I went with a game that looks beautiful and I absolutely know nothing about, and it's called Discworld. It's made by the. I guess is this a novel, Mads? I mean, you know all about this.
Oh God, you don't say. Come on, Mark. Yes, it's a novel. It's many novels. I think this was based mostly on the Guard novel, which is one of many novels in the Discworld series.
Okay.
I guess this Discworld series is about, oh, I'd like to say, 25 to 30 novels.
Oh my gosh.
I've read 20 of them, I think. They're beautiful, beautiful books by Terry, the late Terry Pratchett.
Right.
He was a master storyteller, if you ask me, and he had a way of playing with words and playing with the language and just making really, really funny adventure storytelling, right? It's mostly funny, but it's also very well written and some good stories to follow along. So yes, Discworld is a huge series of books that you should know, Mark, especially since you're on a UK podcast.
Yeah, I know.
You need to know about Sir Terry.
I'll go suck the next 6 months of my life and go read 30 novels.
Yes, yes. Well, I can give you some pointers to just the essential five to start with, and then you can go from there. So the beauty of Discworld is that the games, Discworld 1 and 2, follow Rincewind the Wizard, and he's just a tiny part of the Discworld novels. Some of the other novels follow the guards of the city called Ankh-Morpork. Some novels follow the witches living in Lankra and other parts of the world, and some are just spin-offs. So there's so many stories being told that weave together in this huge universe that he creates, which is in fact just a flat disc flying through space on the back of four elephants that's standing on a huge turtle flying through space. You can see that in the cover image of this world, actually, by the way.
Yep, I'm looking at the big image of it now.
Turtle, a twin. Yeah.
It's a big turtle.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan. I have a huge poster of the Discworld hanging in my hallway downstairs. And another place I have a similarly huge poster of Ankh-Morpork, one of the main cities there. So a huge nerd here.
So, I mean, you posted just recently in Discord, I think on the current game we're playing, the Keo 2. You said, oh, this is inspired by Terry Pratchett. And I had no idea what you were talking about. So I Googled that, and that's kind of what led me to Discworld.
Okay, yeah.
I have heard of this game, and I knew it was based on novels. But, I mean, that's as far as my knowledge goes on it. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, clearly lacking in my education. So,
yes. And this is actually, it's a beautiful game. It's tough as old boots. As far as I recall, I finished it back in the day without a guide, and I remember pulling my hair out at the end. But
wow,
it's a really good game, and it's voiced, your main character, Rincewind, is voiced by Eric Idle of Monty Python famedom. It's a really great game in that respect.
It looked absolutely beautiful. I just looked at some screenshots, and I was like, ooh, I'm sold just on the artwork.
I think about 5 years ago, Chris O'Regan and I, we did an episode on the whole Discworld series of point-and-click adventure games, I think, on Retro Asylum. So we've talked about it before on the show, definitely.
Okay, interesting. Did you play that on DOS, I would assume? PC?
Yeah.
PC? Yeah.
Yep.
It looks definitely. Like it was also released on the Macintosh. Gosh, I would almost play it on that just because I could. PlayStation's got to be horrendous, and so is the Sega Saturn. Oof. Yeah,
probably DOS would be the one I'd go with, but I have no idea how the Macintosh version would look from 1995.
Mm. Yeah, it'd be interesting. Anyway, so that is my first pick. What did you bring to the table, Maz, for number one?
So my number one is, and Chris is gonna love this because Chris loves the beginnings of things and going back to the roots. So I'm a huge fan of Revolution Software, the UK developer that is behind Beneath the Steel Sky and Broken Sword series and so on. They make some great storytelling in point-and-click adventure games. And their very first game, the very first point-and-click adventure game, was called Lure of the Temptress. It's one thing they are famous for is they have this this system that they call the virtual theater, where NPCs will walk around and be in different places of the world regardless of whether you're there or not. So when you walk around the world, you won't always meet the same characters and the same screens that you need to interact with, and they kind of try to make a living world in that way with their virtual theater system, and they've used that in some of the other games, I'm sure. And Lure of the Temptress was their first attempt, and it's a game I've picked up and tried to start so many times, but because I have far too many games to play, I've never actually sat down and finished it, and I really want to finish Lure of the Temptress at some point. For me, this was a game I played back in around 92 on my Amiga before I got a PC. And this time around, if this ends up getting picked, I'll probably play the DOS version, because I think that's actually the primary port of it, and I've never tried that before, I think.
Okay.
So Lure of the Temptress, it's an adventure set in, I mean, it's some medieval town that's fallen into the hands of an evil sorceress, I think, and that she controls this army of orc-like creatures, the Skrull or something along those lines. And you need to fight. You start being captured in a prison cell, and I remember how to get out of that. And then you need to go and save the country, of course, from this invading army of orcs or whatever they are. And that's all I know about it. But I really want to play this at some point. And I know Chris would vote for this, because this is the first game from a company. And
that would make him so happy. Which means it's going to be the first one I cut. I'm just kidding.
yes. No, it's a game I've always wanted to play, so this would definitely be right up my alley. And released in 1992. So far we have Snatcher, which was, well, the version we'll be playing is from 94 on the Sega CD, but it's actually from 88.
1988, and that's wild.
And Discworld was that 95, 94? Something along those 95, lines.
95, yep.
Yeah, and Lure of the Temptress from 92. So definitely in the prime years of the
point and clicks types. Yeah. Mm. Interesting. Well, should we move on to Chris's number two?
Yes, let's do so. Chris is right here.
My second choice is one that I have played, although a long, long time ago, pretty much when it released. A game that I absolutely fell in love with when I did play it. A huge game and a really epic story. It's The Longest Journey, released on Windows PCs in November 1999 in its native Norway, and then translated for the rest of Europe early 2000. It got an American release later that year as well. I absolutely loved this game. You play as a young lady called April Ryan, and the game involves you going between a world that resembles ours, probably more kind of like a neo-future version of our world, and this magical parallel universe. I've always been a sucker for fiction and media that does these magical realist stuff and parallel universes. And The Longest Journey really does lean into that kind of setting. So I remember just there being some fabulous puzzles, really good voice acting for the time, brilliant story. I really, really loved it. I remember it came on 4 CD-ROMs. That's how big the game is. It is a big game, but I think we can do it. In a month, it won't be like Snatcher, where we're probably experimenting between versions. Massively critically acclaimed at the time, and it spawned a number of sequels: Dreamfall, The Longest Journey, and then Dreamfall Chapters. And there's all, I think there are more as well in the pipeline, or at least I hope there are. It's a wonderful game. I would love to see how well it holds up. I've got two absolute bangers here. Good luck, you guys, trying to get rid of one of these, because both of them would be superb to play in the game club. And my second choice, Longest Journey.
So what do you say, Mark?
Oh, man, he's really putting a hard pressure on both these games, I think.
So The Longest Journey is probably one of my favorite games ever. And it's also a game that I've only ever played once. I've never had the time to go all the way through it again, because as I recall it, it's quite a long game actually, but it's a beautiful, beautiful story. And as Chris says, this storytelling that's between two parallel worlds, the Stark, which is the modern world, and Arcadia, which is the more fairy tale world, and how the energy flows from one to the other. It's such a beautifully told story, and I love I love the game. I love the sequels. It's a beautiful world that they built here. But everything is built and talked about in this first game. So it is quite a huge game. And as you said as well, it was on four CDs, which in 1999 was
It
huge.
was huge, and that was kind of right before they started throwing things on DVD, I'm guessing. Which would make sense that it was on four. Wow. Yeah, that's wow. That would be a long game. Am I would I be able to would I be able to play this game, man? So it's
This would definitely be more for our pointers and clickers. It's not a game for newcomers to the genre, I think. But I mean, it's a game for those of us that enjoy an interactive story being told while still being a puzzle game as well, because it is a point and click game. But you really need to enjoy just sitting there and seeing a huge story unfold in front of your eyes and having a part in that.
Okay. Interesting.
So I still have my original copy of this game, and sadly I found like 5 years ago that due to disk rot, one of the disks don't work anymore. So I recently bought myself a new copy on Good Old Games. So I have it again, but it is one of those games that I need to play again at some point. And I'm sure, because I played it back in 2000, I think. I haven't played this in 23 years. I can't remember any of the solutions to any of the puzzles or anything like that anymore. So it'll take me a long time as well to get
It
through.
would you'd almost have to start over. Wow. And it was one of you, I mean that's high praise if you're saying it's one of your favorite games. That's pretty neat.
It is, but as you know, I love the point and click genres, and this is definitely one of it would be in my top 10, no worries, maybe even in my top 5.
Wow, that's great. Okay. Wow.
Yeah, great
Yeah,
choice as well,
nice one,
and
Chris.
easy to come by. This one you can buy on Good Old Games for, and it's cheap as chips. And if you like it, go on to Dreamfall and Dreamfall Chapters. It's good storytelling to get
To
there.
keep moving along. Okay.
And it's made by a Norwegian team, which is great as well.
Wow. Cool. Interesting. Well, he's yeah, I mean, okay. I guess we'll get there when we got to figure out which ones to wipe out.
Yep. So you're up next, Mark. What's your second game?
Okay. Well, I came across this one. It's called Mind Shadow. And it was re released in 1985 on the C64. It was also, I mean, gosh, it was ported to everything back then. PC, Apple II, Atari 8-bit, Amiga, Macintosh, the ZX Spectrum, CPC, ST. It was on everything. All in 1985 and 1986. I have never heard of this game. And have you?
No, I hadn't heard about it at all until you posted it, and it surprises me that I haven't, because it's by Interplay, it's one of the huge players out there. It's something I should have heard about before, but and it looks really, really interesting. It seems like well, it doesn't seem like it is a crossover of a text adventure and a graphical adventure, right? So you have your text input, like playing the very first Leisure Suit Larry or something along those lines. You have your text input and a little bit of graphics along with it, right?
That's right. And that's what kind of intrigued me to it, because I've not really played the text adventures much, but these graphical text adventures has been something I've always wanted to try. I mean, I remember as a kid seeing them, and where the screen would almost it'd be drawing while you're reading the text, and that just sounds really intriguing to me. Maybe I don't know. Maybe the older I get, I can. Take a story with some pictures, like it. And you're right, it's a perfect hybrid, I think, between just a standard text adventure. I watched like 5 minutes of a playthrough, and I didn't want to spoil myself, so I kind of stopped. But the pictures do have some kind of hints, so you gotta, grab this, look at this, do this. I mean, it's your typical parser. So.
But you've got no direct control, right? The pictures are just pictures of the locations you go to. You still have to go north, south, east, west, right?
That's
It's
yes.
not like in Leisure Suit Larry where you can control the character.
That's right. Yes. So you yeah. From what I saw, I think he even put like northeast, and it said I don't understand northeast and stuff like that. But like I said, and there was, like I said, I only watched about 2 or 3 minutes, and they were already typing swear words, and it made me giggle. So.
Now this looks really interesting. I love my text adventures as well, and this is like as you said, a nice hybrid, and it looks good on the Commodore 64. So
yeah,
I again Chris would love this. He loves going back all the way back and seeing where these genres come from, and this is definitely one of the early examples, at least, of something like this.
Yeah, and so, it sounds like, I mean, just reading the description, it sounds like you wake up on an island, a secluded island, and you basically have amnesia, which is like the beginning of all these kind of stories, and you're just picking your way to figure out who you are and how you got there and stuff like that. So definitely seems intriguing.
But again, you didn't know your genres because you picked an interactive fiction / text adventure game and not a point and click adventure game. So, but it sounds interesting. It's a game about finding out what you're doing because you need to regain your memory, right?
Right.
It's you wake up on a beach in an empty hut with a headache and no memory. It says here, and then you have to figure out what's going on. It sounds really interesting.
Yeah, very intriguing game. Yeah.
Yeah. And good choice. Yeah. Good choice. I like that.
Yeah, figured old. Maybe Dean won't be so mad if I threw an 8-bit game in there.
Oh, if it's a text adventure, he'll
be mad anyway. Definitely. Ah, man.
Yes, yeah, yes. Yeah. There's no redeeming qualities here. So on to my final pick.
What do you got for the last guy?
On to another cyberpunk adventure. And it's a game I've wanted to play. I've talked about it numerous times, I think, on the show that I've wanted to play this. And I think we've even tried to put it on the shortlist before. But here we go again. Blade Runner. I would love to play Blade Runner at some point. Blade Runner was released in 1997. It's a Windows 95 game. And it was really, really hard to get running for many, many years. But it's had a re-release recently when they've just made it runnable on the modern platforms again, so now it should be possible to play it. And it's a Westwood game. For us point and click fans, Westwood of course are known for real time strategy games as well. But for us point and click fans, they were also known for the Legend of Carindia series, three great games, and they did this point and click adventure as well, Blade Runner, of course based on the movie, or not really based on the movie, but on that universe that the movie Blade Runner tells us about. You are one of the Blade Runners, I think, in charge of, I think, if I recall correctly, some animals have been killed and you need to solve that case. And there are very, very few animals left in the world. So this is a crime on level with killing other people. So you're tasked to solve that case, and of course it involves replicants and all of that. So it's supposedly a really good game. I remember they sold it as it has a million different possibilities, everything can happen, but in reality there are only six different endings you can get to. But I think there are many places, junction points in the game where you can take different actions, and depending on your actions, some of the stuff in the storytelling will change slightly. So it would be fun to play because I guess some of us would have different ways through, and we'll solve things in different ways, and we discuss that. But it was a really, really beautiful game, and another game, if I recall correctly, that was on four CDs when it was released. I do have the original release here as well somewhere, but I've never found the time to play it. So yeah, Westwood Studios Blade Runner, that would be my second choice.
Wow, yeah, that one's that one definitely sounds intriguing too. I mean, both of your game and Chris's, I don't know which ones I want to take off because they both sound so interesting. And and for you, not you've never played Blade Runner, and the other one you started and not have played, that's gonna make it go really tough for me.
Yeah. So if Blade Runner wins, I'll have to get my Pentium 75. I have to get that installed with Windows 95 as well. I only have a DOS installation on it. I have to play this on the old version on the original hardware. So
right,
that'd be good fun to set up.
Yeah. Didn't you have problems with that machine, or did you get those sorted out?
Nah, my Windows 98 machine, that's another machine. It's dead, and the capacitors are blown. But I have a new set of capacitors just lying there waiting for me to try my luck at soldering, and I'm horrible at that, mate.
Yeah, fair enough, fair enough. Wow.
I'll give it a go at some point.
Doesn't sound like as bad of trouble as Chris is having with his modern PC.
Nope.
Yeah.
Modern PCs are rubbish.
That's it. Yeah, that's right. There you go. Wow. Yeah. Okay.
So the list, we have The Longest Journey, Snatcher, Lure of the Temptress, Blade Runner, Mind Shadow, and Discworld. Should we start by just eliminating one of Chris's? Because that's easy. He's not here.
Yeah, he's easy. If I'm honest, Snatcher's the one I want to keep.
Okay.
Only because I've owned the game and you know, shame on me for never ever playing it. But The Longest Journey, I mean, like you said, if it's going to be hard, not for newcomers, I'm probably going to be pulling my hair out. And you guys are going to be sick of me calling you every... I'll probably be calling you about 2 in the morning. Hey, Mats, what do I do here? How do I fix this?
As I recall, Longest Journey is quite long and not for newcomers to the genre, but it's also a masterpiece.
Yeah.
And one I really want to play again at some point. But I have played all the way through it before. I know Chris has as well, so... I'll be good going with Snatcher. That suits me fine, mate.
Yeah, and I guess if he's never played it, you've never played it. I've never played it. That'd be an interesting run. And it'd be interesting to see. So you're good with that?
Yes, I most definitely am. So Snatcher is going on to the final list. And bye-bye to April Ryan and The Longest Journey.
Sorry, Chris. Let's
get back to those.
I can hear him crying right now, but... I mean, which one would you eliminate? I mean, seriously. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
I've wanted to play Snatcher for a long time as well, so that would be good to try.
Yeah, that should be interesting. Okay.
And speaking of point-and-click adventure games, Chris, you promised me that you'd play Goblins 1, 2, and 3 so we could record an episode on that as well.
Time to get working on that. I actually picked up Goblins, too. I actually have that one on disc.
Yeah, for the Amiga or... Yeah,
I think it's PC. Yeah.
Oh, for PC.
Yeah, I found it...
Yeah, that version is good as well.
Found it cheap. It was $10 or something in the box.
For a boxed copy.
Yeah, couldn't say no to that. Like that. And it was around the time you were talking about it last year, I think it was. Yeah. So, yeah, just popped up at my local shop and had to pick that up. So.
So you will most definitely hate that, mate. You will hate it.
So I just need to go throw it in the garbage now while I got a chance.
No. I love it, but it's some of the puzzles are so hard and so illogical that it's just downright unfair. And just to add insult to injury, some of them are timing based as well. So you don't just need to use X on Y and C. You need to use X on Y and C with, I would like to say, millisecond precision, but at least like half a second precision. Sometimes, so
wow.
They can be quite infuriating.
So it's an early, quick time event, but you got to do it almost specifically on time, huh?
Yeah. You could call it that. Yes.
That sounds terrible. Yeah, I guess that game needs to go in the trash. I'm just kidding. I won't throw it. It'll sit there collecting dust like everything else in this room. Yeah.
No, it's a beautiful game. I love all of the Goblins games. They're really good. Well, the first three I haven't played. 4 and 5 is coming actually very soon. I backed the Kickstarter for
that. Oh, cool. Interesting. Okay.
Yes.
I'd say wipe out one of mine, Mats, because I'm still struggling on yours.
Okay. So this is actually tough because while Mind Show isn't a point-and-click game, so that should be easy to eliminate, it really intrigues me, and I like my C64, so I'd like to try that really. And I have played through Discworld, and again, if we want to get newcomers along as well, Discworld is beautiful, it's funny, it looks really good, and has a great story to tell, but it is so damn hard. So we're gonna scare away people. They're gonna be playing for 2 hours and get hopelessly stuck and never play it anymore. So I think, against my better judgment, I'm going to vote against Discworld. I'm going to eliminate Discworld and keep Mind Shadow in the running because that intrigues me. I know it's not a point and click, but it is a graphical adventure game, and it looks it looks really interesting. I'd like to have a look at that.
But we got
to
change things up a little. We got to throw in some curveballs, right? instead of perfect definitely. Point and click. Yeah, this one seems to be interesting. So, okay.
I forgot to actually say why I included, well, yet another reason that I included Lure of the Temptress. Okay. It's because I recently, like, well, 6 months ago, I backed a Kickstarter on, that was one of the original founders, I think, of Revolution Software, has written a book about Revolution Software and all the games that they made. So, he just received all of the books and they are being shipped now. So very soon I'll have a book in hand and I can read about the development process and how they worked on Lure of the Temptress. So, it would be good fun to play the game, the first game, while reading this book about the company.
So you're actually going to be receiving that book then, like within the month, you think?
Yeah, probably within a week or two.
Oh wow!
But let's see. I would likewise like to play Blade Runner, right. So there's no.
Man, you're killing me on this one.
So one thing. Yeah, let's. You want to make Steve happy?
Yes, always.
Because if you do want to make Steve happy, and who doesn't want to see Steve's happy little face? Right. You probably go with Blade Runner this time, but
I thought.
Yeah. Tough choice, man.
Does he? Well, he
hates point and click adventure games, but he has actually finished Blade Runner back in the day.
You're kidding. Has he talked about this in the past?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Man. I mean, and I think he's still fuming over the 8-bit war games.
Yes. Mm. Well, he could just have picked a game that wasn't best on the CPC, couldn't you, Steve?
Yeah. I mean, I think out of your two, I personally would rather actually play Blade Runner, only because I'm not a huge fan of the movie. I'm not saying I don't like the movie. I'm just not. It's not my favorite type of movie. And I've watched kind of the multiple versions, the director's cut, and all these things. And I don't get it, but Blade Runner 2049, I really enjoyed. That was a beautiful movie. But the, like you said, the whole atmosphere in the world, and it's just intriguing to me. And being a Windows 95 game, that's kind of my sweet spot. I just love Windows 95 gaming.
And luckily this is available on probably Good Old Games. I haven't actually checked, but probably Good Old Games as well, and Steam, I guess, because it was re-released a few years ago.
Okay. Yeah, so that one would be interesting. So, I mean, out of those two, I think those would be the ones I'd like to play. So, sorry, you won't be able to finish off what you started.
Okay. So Blade Runner, Mind Shadow, and Snatcher. Three good candidates. Yeah. And looking at a list of point-click adventure games, these are definitely not your usual suspects. I like that. There are no LucasArts games or Sierra games or some of the big hitters here. It's it's interesting.
Yeah, these
and all three games I'd love to play.
Yep, I agree. These will be interesting to try. So, especially out of my wheelhouse of just simple arcade style gaming. So,
So I'm afraid Blade Runner may have some action sequences as well. I'm not sure, but because I've never played it before, but I think there may be action sequences. And for us point and click aficionados, that's horrible.
That's a big no-no.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, we probably should just call it Adventure Month, because if we call it point and click, you imagine the hate that's going to be coming with these three games.
It's Adventure Month. Adventure Month. Nobody ever said anything about
point and clicking. No pointing, no clicking, adventuring.
Nope.
Yeah.
Don't go pointing and clicking here.
Adventuring for springtime. I think that's good. Yeah.
And we've got something for Steve. We've got. Well, let's say it's something for Dean, because at least it's 8-bit, and who are we catering to with Snatcher apart from Chris?
Probably Roushi.
Probably Chris. Yeah.
Roushi.
Yes, and us. I hope.
Yeah. We'll see. I think. I don't know. I mean, really, out of these three, do you have an idea of which one's gonna win? I kind of think I do, but.
I've got no guess. No guess, really. I'd be happy to play all three. I think it's probably time I play Blade Runner, so I actually hope that will win. But, I'd be happy playing the other two as well.
Well, if that one wins, I think we have to force Steve on coming on.
Yeah, that'd be good.
I think we need to get more Steve and more Dean and more Matt. Mm. How do we get Matt more involved?
Yeah. By not playing adventure games.
Mm. Well, then I guess this we're out on this month. We'll have to sneak in an Amiga game or something for him next month.
Maybe.
Well, what else we got, okay, Mads? Anything else on the docket?
No, I think that's about it. Now we're ready. I will get this out as soon as I can and then get the vote up on Discord so you guys can start voting. And looking forward to seeing what we'll be playing in April.
Yeah, should be a lot of fun. You got any shout-outs? Mm.
Shout-outs to the team. Shout-out to Chris, who couldn't be here today, sadly. And shout-outs, of course, to Dean and Matt and Steve. Look forward to recording with you guys again soon. We have a more chatty episode coming up right after Easter, I think. So that'll be good.
Yeah, that should be fun.
How about you, Mark?
Yeah, I get to jump in there, too, with you guys at some point. It should be fun. Should be good. Yeah. I like the waffly episodes that... Was that term coined with one of your haters? Is that what we decided? From playthrough.
I think maybe our very first, definitely one of our first reviews on the podcast, on Apple Podcast, was somebody saying it was an hour of long drawn out waffle or something along those lines. So we took that to heart, and now we have waffle episodes every once in a while. That's great.
I think it's hilarious that you've just ran with it, and it's just the one guy's review has turned into starting to spread. But I think it works out good. So yeah, the waffle episodes are fun just to kind of know what's going on. Mm. Yeah. Shout out for me. I got to appear on a game, the new Game Mode Flame podcast. I think it'll actually be dropping this weekend. So. This upcoming weekend,
What were you playing?
Well, I ended up, it's because one of my good friends that's local to me created a game for the TurboGrafx. And so it's been...
Yeah, I remember.
It's been released. And so I got to be on an episode with him. And that was a lot of fun. And actually, they kind of changed up their formatting a little bit. So Andy asked me to look at a homebrew game that I could talk about. So I ended up... talking about Vector Blade, which is on my Vectrex that Dean helped me finally got my Pytrex going. So I've got it sitting right here on my desk. I'm just looking at it and googling over it. But yeah, so Vector Blade was a really cool homebrew game developed for the Vectrex. So that was the one I kind of looked at along with the game. But it was, oh my gosh, talk about a waffle episode. I mean, we were... Two hours and some change, and then I think almost...
I was just about to say, it's been so funny to follow their transition from tightly focused podcast, half an hour episodes, we're going to cover one game, we're going to do it in depth, to just becoming the retro asylum for old games on modern platforms. I love their show, and if people like listening to us waffle on the Retro Asylum, and you like new games on old machines, definitely go check out New Game Old Flame. Great podcast.
Yeah, this one went on way too long, but we had a great time. And I guess after we finished, because we went into the wee hours of the morning for the European folks. they came back and did their news and stuff after, so I think it's almost a 3 hour long epic. So good grief. But yeah, so look forward to that one. I think that one will be released probably after this one, so yeah, should be fun. Those guys are always fun, so yeah, that's a
really nice guys. So, and they have a nice chemistry, so it's always nice to listen to, good to listen to,
right? Yep. And that's it for me,
I guess. With those words, it's bye-bye for now, and look forward to playing some games with you in April, mate.
Sounds good. Awesome. Can't wait to get into some adventuring.
Dean Alan Swain, podcast host, gamer, truck driver, searching for a way to tap into the hidden strengths that all 8-bit computers have. Then, an accidental shock from a wonky power supply alters his body chemistry. And now, when Dean Swain grows angry or outraged, a startling metamorphosis occurs.
Sodden poxy bloody game, it's rubbish!
The creature is annoyed by bad games and pursued by bitter publishers.
Mr. Wilcox, don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
The creature is mocked for not recording enough episodes per year. Dean Swain is believed to be dead, and he must let the world think that he is dead until he can find a way to record without his family making too much noise in the background.
Will you lot shut up? I'm trying to record in here!